I'd like to call the talk today, The Gift of Non-Striving. And I'd like to start with a quote by Thich Nhat Hanh from his book Silence, which is a wonderful book I can highly recommend. And it's called Silence, The Power of Quiet in a World Full of Noise. And so the quote is, if you feel that your dreams aren't coming true, you might think you need to do more or to think and strategize more. In fact, what you might need is less noise coming to you from both inside and outside, so that you have space for your heart's truest intention to germinate and flourish. And so one of the things about us as human beings that's very deeply embedded in us to see life as a continuous improvement project, and we're constantly trying to flourish, to achieve, to improve things, to be a better person. And part of that is because we are mammals and we learned over, you know, a millennia to try and survive in quite difficult environments sometimes. So we're very cued into signs of danger. Is this potentially dangerous? Are we constantly checking around, queuing in for that? And also, how can I do this better so that we have plenty to eat, that we are sheltered, have a shelter, and that we can flourish, and also helping us to get through the lean period. So often, you know, there were times when there wasn't much food available, so learning how to improve how we can do things so we actually have food available all the time and we don't ever have to go hungry. So that sort of way of thinking is quite deeply embedded within us. And so we have what I call the what if mind, that what if this happens and what if this might and what if da da da, what if I don't have enough food, what if I don't have enough of this, what if people don't like me enough. And so we've learned to strategize a lot, to plan ahead, and also to manipulate the environment and other people around us to sort of suit us, what we might need. And we're very attuned social beings, so we're highly attuned to each other and what might be going on, and is this to my advantage or my disadvantage. So we're constantly sort of checking signals from people around us and working out, is this a way that I'm, you know, will support me or undermine me. And then we also have that what I call if only mind, if only this hadn't happened or if only that hadn't happened. And as we age, we have this sort of accumulation of regrets that life didn't quite work out the way we wanted. And so we have this mind that's going, oh, you know, I really wanted this to happen and now it never will or it may not happen. So that's something else that we sort of tend to think about a lot. And so it makes sense that we're sort of thinking, you know, is this going to be useful for me or is this going to be something useless? Is this worth putting my time and energy into? Or is this actually something that's not really going to serve me and my needs very well? So this is quite a famous quote by Kota Sawaki, who's a Zen teacher. And he actually said that Zazen, so the sitting meditation practice that we do, is useless. So there's no point doing it. And if you think about that, you know, we're dedicating half a day today, maybe half an hour a day at home. Also, we do retreats and things like that. So we're actually dedicating quite a lot of time to this practice. And he is a Zen teacher saying, oh, but it's actually useless. It's not really going to get you anything. And another teacher in Ordinary Mind Zen school, Barry Magid, he's also very clearly saying that Zazen or Zen meditation is not a technique. So it's not something that you learn and then get better at and then eventually, you know, you've sort of improved and then your whole life has improved. So it's not something that we can see as a technique. And of course, Dogen, who is a very early Zen teacher, he also emphasizes that as well, that Zazen is already enlightenment. It's not something that you're working towards. So, you know, I think it's, as I said, embedded in us to think, is this going to be useful or not? But in our society, it seems to have become almost a bit of an obsession. So everything we do has to have some kind of outcome that can be measured and that can be said that's good for us. And so we're having endless studies. So some of the things which are some recent studies which have been publicized. These are all things that are good for us. So walking in a forest is very good for us. Playing a musical instrument is also good for us. Having a pet lowers blood pressure, increases your lifespan. Having a pot plant is also useful, makes you feel better. Singing in a choir is good for us. Taking a break, that's also good for us. Volunteering has been shown in studies to be good for us. And having friends. Listening to music, and especially classical music, is particularly good for us. Going to an art gallery, if you do that, that's also good for you. Exercising, of course, and meditation. There's thousands and thousands of studies to show that meditation is good for us. And a lot of these things that are on that list, and of course there's many others as well, we used to kind of just do them. So we, you know, we wanted to look at some art, so we went to an art gallery and maybe felt like listening to music, so we put some music on. And then Sunday we might want to go for a bit of a walk, so we went into nature. And nowadays everything has this compulsion of, oh, guess what? This is good for us. We need to do more and more of this. So what we actually do in meditation, you know, there are the studies that show, you know, lots of benefits for meditation. But what we actually do in Zen is kind of a sense of stripping away. So it's not trying to accumulate more and more good experiences for us. But we are sort of letting go of things and stripping them away. When we do a retreat, which is called session, there's a lot of guidelines which really sort of reduce the amount of things that are happening in our life. So first of all, everyone wearing black reduces the stimulation of different colors and different forms of what we wear, black cushions and things like that. Then in session, we don't have any talking, no eye contact. So a lot of the social interactions are stripped away. We don't have reading or writing, certainly not watching TV, looking at the iPhone, no Facebook, no art, no listening to music. So this constant sense of stripping things away. And that sort of leaves us with something of just being with whatever is going on with the moment. So not having a sense of, I need to do this so I feel better, but just actually being present with what is. And what Barry Magid says, Zazen is like sitting in front of a mirror. So you're just sitting in front of this mirror and you're just noticing what's happening. And that's all. That's what you're going on. We do develop certain qualities with meditation, so that might seem to be contradictory. So some of the qualities we practice are called the paramitas, and that was in the Song of Zazen that we said earlier, you know, generosity, patience, self-disciplines, the many paramitas all rise within Zazen. So the paramitas are generosity, self-discipline, patience, also energy, bringing a sense of energy to our meditation. And shamatha, which is calming meditation and also the development of wisdom. But another way to see meditation is actually as a break from this constant sense of self-improvement, a break from this continuous self-improvement project that we have going on, and just simply being present with whatever is arising and disappearing again, moment to moment. So there's a great sense of power in that sense of stillness. What other people have called like creating sanctuaries of quiet in a busy day, that is actually kind of the antidote to that constant sense of striving and busyness, is to just simply be present just for the sake of it, not because it's good for us or because studies have shown, but just because we have that commitment to simply being present. And so just to finish with another quote by Thich Nhat Hanh from that book, Silence. Wherever you are can be a sacred space. If you're there in a relaxed and serene way, following your breathing and keeping your concentration on whatever you're doing.